All right, we're live. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. This is John Kamal. We're presented by the Sono Collection. So I'm going to introduce my my guest real quick with a story. And if you listened to my interview with Will Vega last week from The Acoustic, then you heard a shorter version of this. I walked into the Acoustic open mic about 10 years ago, and I had to ditch all my buddies who wanted to go to sports bars because they didn't want to see they didn't want to go to some dumb hippie bar. And I went and I sat down, and I had just gotten out of college. So I'm like, you know, I'm not in a band, and I'm really bummed out about it. So I'm like, all right, let's go to the local mic. Let's see some people like get up there and strum cowboy chords. And I see this guy get up on stage, and I'm immediately just like, oh my God, really? That's what happens around here? And that was my introduction to the Black Rock music scene right there, was watching this man, Darian Cunning himself, play some tunes. And you were playing some of your solo stuff at the time too, man. But you know, I mean, I've gone on to see you in Black Rock Social, a million different sit-ins, Jen Durkin in the business. How you doing, man? Thank you for being here tonight.
I'm well, man. I'm sort of, you know, weathering the changes in the world and all of the things happening at the same time, and then you know, and it's I'm lucky to have something to do. I'm lucky to have something to occupy my brain and my soul with, because I know it's like it's hard for a lot of cats out there. It's like, yeah, all dude. The, you know, like a lot of gigs dried up, and then, you know, they're not even when they pick back up, you know, businesses, it's not, you know, it's barely fair to the business owners half the time. It's like you're trying to, you know, like you're trying not to put your people in danger, but you want to like give something to the people. So yeah. What do you do?
I mean, and that's really, and you know, I spoke about my conversation with Will already. I mean, that's the ultimate quandary right now, right? Is, I mean, how do you, you have to run a business, but no one gets into this particular business for the money. So, right. So how do you balance those? How do you balance that, man? How do you balance, you know, wanting just, you know, because it's one thing. I mean, like, I think that, and I'm sure that stockbrokers out there enjoy going in and selling and making money and all of that, but they don't like, they wouldn't just do that if no one was paying them for it. You know what I mean? That's the right. difference between musicians and even venue owners. Like this, we do this for fun. This is what we do when no one's paying us.
I mean, it's not even like it's worse than fun. You know, it's like it's that sense of I have to do this. You don't know that it's fun yet. It's not really fun until it goes off like successfully. But sometimes it's even fun when you don't pull it off quite right, just because you learned a little bit and you get to do it again.
It's a need. There's a need.
There's a need. There's a compulsion there. And then like you get up there and, you know, being in the audience, you're seeing this example of somebody being free with their expression, with their idea, with their, like, with their, you know, they're putting their ethos and emotion. And ethos. Like, it's captivating. It's inspiring. It like it, you know, I didn't realize how much juice it gives you and how grounding it is to see it on other people.
Yeah. Certainly don't realize it until you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, man.
My God, it's so bad.
Woo.
So, dude, we've known each other
People are breaking out a little bit. People
yes.
breaking out a little bit. There's a couple of little gig happenings, you know, here and there.
I saw this myself, but
I'm not going to tell anybody not to do it.
Right.
So.
Right. No, and like I saw Drop Party did their thing at Bryak last night. I wanted to go to that, man. You know,
I wanted to go.
I had
some video.
I had to do Dad Life a little bit, but there's video. I saw it.
Right?
I had some FOMO for sure.
I got the dad life, bro.
Yo, that's what's going on. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you. But like, dude, we've known each other for a while now, but you know, I never.
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really haven't delved into, you know, I mean, outside of just like influences and experiences and like talking as a guitar player, but I've never really gone into the specifics of your career. So, I mean, talk to me about. Talk to me about the beginning though, man. Cause for real, like, I mean, you've done some wild stuff in your life. And your playing is just informed by an experience that I think people would find really interesting.
I mean, playing. Wow. I mean, like, for real. Going all the way back, it's just, you know, grandmother buys a piano for me and I didn't practice for like years. And I like, you know, was in the house. I got piano lessons and I didn't practice. And she was like, yeah. And then I got a guitar and I was like, because you can carry the guitar around, you carry the guitar around all over the place and it's portable. And
there is something to that. Yeah.
It's huge. It's a big deal because like anywhere I was stuck, I was never stuck. You know, there was, it was one of those things that always kind of helped me lose track of time. And then like, you know, little high school bands, you know, but of course, like the high school bands are kind of like the primordial ones, like the prototypical ones, the ones that are, you know, kind of set it up. It's like when we were trying to play like more complicated stuff, we had this band called Tempest and we got sued.
What did you do?
We got a cease and desist order because we didn't realize it was another band called Tempest. Maybe we saw it on the cover of the Discmakers record, but maybe like we're like, hey, these guys are in like Sweden or something, right? This like fair usage. And we're in Connecticut. Like we read the books. We read the books anyway. They called up with the cease and desist and like wow. They were really nice. They're actually like they're
okay.
Super pro, like, you know, these guys are OG prog rock. Like kind of a big deal from where they come from. And sure. they were gracious enough to let us walk away with, I think, like $5,000. We made the next record with it. And then it was like,
We didn't have
real names. That all of those bands never had real names.
I'm going to stop you right there, though, because you're talking about a high school band.
Yeah.
You're talking about a high school band that was in a position to make a deal for $5,000.
This is why
I wanted to ask you about this phase of your career, though, because like, dude, how did you get a high school band to a position like that? How did you get them outside of the Beanery? Bro, for those of you who went to school around Fairfield County, how'd you get out of the Beanery, man? How'd you get out of those like tiny gigs?
Bro, we had to break into the Beanery after we were already started. Like breaking out of the Beanery.
Oh,
like things happen so randomly, and it's you know, fits and starts of things. It's like, you know, big explosions of things and then big giant lulls of nothing.
Right.
And then like, you know, like big huge runs, you know, marathon, and then it's like just a little bleak drop in the bucket somewhere, and then like a breeze blows, and then the world moves again. You know,
it's like songs, so, it's peaks and valleys. It's peaks and valleys.
All kinds of like, interesting stuff.
Well, that's, and here, you know what? And this is actually, this is Tim Roach, phenomenal guitar player in his own right now, based out of Florida.
Timmy.
Check out his stuff, man, especially if you enjoy the 80s throwback stuff. This is an old school shredder.
The perusal of the instrument. Oh, yes. God. Steve Morse.
So for those listening on the podcast, the question is, what album or artist made you want to peruse your instrument? Phenomenal use of the word peruse.
Yes, perusal. I'd say easily Steve Morse was a big, big, big one. Before that, I think Steve Vai. Like, ooh. There's a couple of Steves on there. You know, like, I'm a fan of Lukather, but not, you know, not as much as like Vai is.
Right.
Let's see, who else? Slash was my first guy. Like Slash is my dude.
And you know what you said that before too, when we did the thing with Jen last year. What is it about Slash that appeals to you? Because that you did mention him as being like your first guy.
Yeah, because it was this virtuosity combined with the funkiness. It was this precise, like, just fluidity. It was like a drunken monkey on guitar, you know, like just so just biting and bluesy, but at the same time it was like, you know, he's using like 8-note scales and 9-note scales and like klezmer stuff that goes up one way and comes down another way.
Yeah.
And it's still really like he's real heavy on the Albert King stuff. You know, like, and sort of Hendrix too was a big guy in the way that Albert King, I think, might have been partially that he played upside down, and certain guys who play upside down, Eric Gales is another cat who plays upside
down.
Yeah,
Eric Gales.
Your hand does a different thing. And Mono Neon's another cat, plays upside down, southpaw. Yeah. And it's also like your brain is literally wired different depending on like which way you're oriented to play your particular instrument.
Yep.
But anyway, sorry, it's super digression.
No, it's okay.
We're talking about Slash, right?
Well, just about what appealed to him. But you know what I noticed too is that, and you know, I mean, just for people listening, a little bit of background. I took lessons from you for a little while as a guitar player, and one of the things that I remember It was like 5-6 years
Black
ago,
Rock
something
Music?
Like that.
Was it at Black Rock Music?
No, nah, man, it was at your house, man. I just showed up at your crib.
Oh.
We just hung out and played guitar for a while.
I remember those.
We just made a schedule. We just made a schedule out of something that we did normally.
That was something that we did normally.
But no, dude, you know, you always spoke about, and this is, I mean, there was no chance that this wasn't gonna devolve into a guitar head podcast, and I don't care. I'm embracing it. What I noticed though, you bring up, you know, the way that Slash broke outside of the blues box. And also, you know, incorporated things that were, when I came to you as a player, I was very stuck in blues, or at least just by extension, largely classic rock playing. And one of the things that you did was you were just like, all right, yeah, but here's all these fun little half steps that can happen too. And now suddenly you're doing basically like 80% the pentatonic scale, but there's so much more other fun, like little things to it.
Well, I mean,
and that's
blues,
it's something I notice in your playing constantly.
There's certain flaws in the English language. It's like we're hell bent on trying to use a metaphor, and it's inherently flawed. And we do things like we say, oh, it's just like this, and we sort of, you know, pop music and in the interest of compartmentalizing things, we managed to put blues in this little category so that there's only like a couple of good ways, you know, a couple of true ways to do it. But the thing is like it comes from something that's so much older than that. And like, you know, the blues comes from these more complicated, you know, art forms, music forms, cultures. Oh my God. You think about like the gypsy culture that like, you know, proto rock and roll must have come out of.
Oh yeah.
And like, you know,
even
like
outside
Bible
of Django,
thumper.
Yeah.
You know, like, in, like, think about like what church music used to be like before our denominations were so clean, you know, and like what people used to do to after work. It's like you didn't have a boombox. You had a couple of dudes who were the boom boom room. You know, we're rocking, like we rock the block. We are the radio station. We are the internet. Like,
yeah,
in a sense, it's like you're the town crier. Like, yeah, somebody gets married. It's like those knuckleheads. It's like, yeah, well, he's, you know, that's the only, you know, upright bass player you got in the neighborhood. That's the only, you know, like this guy's a good guitar player. And well, he beat up the other guys. So I guess he's got the gig.
right. The town crier. I like that. People ask me, like, you know, like, what kind of job is it to even like be on the radio these days? I'm like, it's like being the town crier. You're the local, you're the local person who just is loud for a living.
But because nobody else wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it.
No.
Speaking of it, like, oh my God, public, like nobody wants to take public speaking. Like there's like two people in a class of like 30 that want to take public speaking.
Right.
Nobody else wants to do it. Everybody else is forced.
Well, so like, all right. So you've got, so we were talking before you had the high school band. What was the start of like your professional career? What would you consider the start of your professional career, I should say?
I'd say probably lumping up into the acoustic, probably like 2000, 2001. You know, like when it was gigs. And at that point, that was kind of the first time that I was really, that I was making a living playing gigs, going to open mics, going to other open mics, like getting gigs out of town. Like also, I never really stopped doing the session musician thing. So like, you know, there's always somebody's record to work on. There's always somebody's, you know, there's always work to be done.
Well, so like, who have you worked with though?
I don't know, like a lot of cats. Some cats have heard of, some cats haven't heard of. Like I've worked with Stephen Kellogg, Kristen Hoffman. I'm working with Jen Durkin in the business. You know, that's you know, that's like one of my brain children. Our brain children, our little like hippie love commune brain child thing.
Yeah. Well said.
And obviously there was a Black Rock Social thing, Cosmic Ibarros. I start to lose track after a while, and like, cause there's like there's a whole list of bands that were like, you know, stuff that happened for like a couple of months or like a year or like 2 years, and then you just have to keep it moving. You know, life goes on, and your Verizon bill is due, and you just take gigs.
So what's here? I like this question. What's your favorite lyric in a composed song? Or a line
Lord
lyric?
Have mercy.
That's still, or even just a lyric that's still rolling around in your head waiting to be used. Ooh, so this is kind of a double right here from Angel. So we got favorite lyric and one that's already written.
Angel,
and one
that is not fair.
And one that's rolling around in your head that you're waiting to use. That's exciting.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of those, and I have to be careful with this because I have this thing called, I think it's a variant on red light syndrome, but it's like it's sort of like a Stockholm syndrome, but it's about your recordings. And if you record a thing and you put it out and it's not quite finished, it's really hard to evolve it past that first unfinished version. It's really hard to correct mistakes after I give it to you. So if I give you that favorite lyric that I'm just about to use, it's going to lose potency. Angel, you have to wait for the record.
Oh, that's a phenomenal backward way of talking about got to wait for the record. But so let's talk about that, though. So it's all right. So it's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. I'm talking to Darian Cunning. It's John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox coming up at 9 p.m. Actually, let me get you the exact time because I've got it on my computer screen. Coming up at 8:57. No, at 9 o'clock. Exactly. We're going to hear three in a row from Darian Cunning. And let's talk about this music that you sent me that we're going to be hearing in just a couple of minutes. So Kitty Kitty's the first one, but that's an older tune of yours. I've heard that song a bunch of times.
That's an older tune. I mean, like most of these, like what did I send you? I sent you Kitty. I sent you Love Strong. I sent
You sent me, and hold on. So I
and you, Top of the Wall. I sent you like five tunes. Oh my
Top
God.
Of the Wall did. Top of the Wall did.
Oh yeah. Top of the Wall.
Oh okay. All right. So it's just Top of the Wall. So I read it because it was all one word on the file name.
Oh God.
So
wait.
I just made it up. So if you so watch. So listen to the show, and if you notice the title of the song, it's this ridiculous bastardization of Darian's song title that I just wrote into our computer system at the
definitely file. the file name. But yeah, I just kind of like, you know, slammed that out because I was like, these were like they're almost done. Like I'm not changing any lyrics, I'm not like redoing anything on them. So
what I love about them though is they're so musically diverse though. I mean,
I'm
so sorry. Yeah. Continue though. Like, tell me about where you draw inspiration from all these. Cause Kitty Kitty is just basically just, you know, like straightforward rock tune. It's got a great groove to it, but that's just, you know, you're not a ton of effects on it. It's just, you're kind of like straight ahead rock and roll song. But you delve into some other sounds in these other two tunes. So while we've still got the time, and I want to give people a chance to listen to them, but while we still have a couple minutes left, tell me about these songs, man.
The Kitty is just like a straight up band of gypsies, like, you know, bang it with the band, you know, just run with the band and get her done. And you know, it's pretty cut and dry. It's a fun, sexy little song. Love Strong is a little bit, that, you know, these things start out as like a little acoustic thing. And then there's always somewhere when especially we're living in the 21st century, and it's hard enough to capture, you know, truthful audio on what you're doing, much less be able to sort of enhance. And we have a lot of ways to enhance the music that we play, and like, why not kind of go all the way out, you know, in the service of the song? And it's like, there's obviously the service to the performance and like to be able to reproduce the product. But I mean, I'm telling you, lately, like with where our enjoyment sort of, I'd already been experiencing a little bit of like dissatisfaction with the way that we've come to enjoy certain things. And I found
the way we enjoy music, certainly.
And, you know, and I found it's only recently that I've been like, you know, you hole up for 90 days, you find out your relationship to music, you find out what you really like, want to listen to and won't tolerate anymore. And like, I mean, my vinyl collection is like, I have to reorganize it because it's, you know, like I keep, you know, taking stuff out and like now I'm actively listening to them. Right. Where it was like, you know, every once in a while I would have like a project listen, or like, you know, you're cleaning up and like you pick out four, you change it a couple of times. And, but, like, so I like putting a lot of things into the music, and sometimes I don't know what year I want it to be. Sometimes sometimes I'm in the past. Sometimes I really am in a hurry to get to the future.
That's very well said. I like that.
And sometimes I'm really in a hurry to get to the future.
So these tunes are really just kind of, I mean, you know, like a way of incorporating, you know, and stop me if I'm on the wrong track, but like in incorporating all of these incredible things that we can do to music right now, but at the same time, trying to keep it natural, trying to keep it honest to what the song is supposed to be.
Right. But, and it's like one of those things. It's like at a certain point, like even our interference in something does not make it like an unnatural chemical. You're a person, right? Like, and because you have a step into a chemical process, you can no longer say that thing is unnatural. You already had your hands on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so like, no matter what you do to it, it's got your hands on it. It's manual. It's already like, you know, as soon as somebody told me once, like as soon as sound hits the air, it's analog. No matter how digital you get, you guys can have like wars about like bit rates and D-to-A converters all day.
Sure.
But as soon as that speaker starts moving, it's analog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like that's the music is kind of a similar thing. And it's like, I really love like bare bones stuff. Like, and I also really love to see the tricked out car. You know, like,
right.
I want to, you know, I like big shows. I like big shows. I like little shows. I like shows, period. But I don't eat the same. I don't eat the same thing all the time. Sometimes I eat big. Sometimes I don't eat so big.
Well, and that's I think that's a great way to describe what we're about to hear from you musically, because it's all you, but it's all different types of you. And it's cool. So, I mean, listen, if this piqued your interest, it's starting to play right now-ish. So, dude, this is Darian Cunning. He plays in Jen Durkin in The Business. He writes his own tunes. He's in Black Rock Social, Cosmic Heberos. He is one of the best musicians in Connecticut and on the Eastern Seaboard, and a good friend of mine. Dude, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, man, thank you for having me.
Yeah, brother. Stick around for a second. I'm going to talk to you when we end the broadcast. But for those of you watching right now, go to 959thefox.com. Or if you live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, you can just go to 95.9 FM. You can hear three songs in a row from this guy, Darian, this guy, there we go. Directions. Darian Cunning, it's playing on the radio right now. And then after his three songs, you're still going to have a whole other hour of original local music from only Connecticut artists. So, yeah, go check it out. D, thank you, bro. And make sure if you missed any of this, you can download the podcast starting tomorrow. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. All right.
95.9.
95.9.